application on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, salam and peace to all of you who are listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio. Our topic is the Shia of Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن.
Before speaking about our topic, let's look at the calendar. Yes, today, Saturday, is the 19th of the month of Shawwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 31st of Ordibehisht, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 21st of May, 2022, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's listen to a holy verse of chapter Isra, verse 71.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يوم ندعو كل أناس بإمامهم فمن أوتي كتابه بيمينه فأولئك يقرؤون كتابهم ولا يظلمون فتيلا.
Mention, O Muhammad, the day we will call forth every people with their record of deeds. Then whoever is given his record in his right hand, those will read their records, and injustice will not be done to them, even as much as a thread inside the date seed.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This holy verse makes allusions to one of the divine blessings given to man, and then it refers to the heavy responsibilities which run parallel to these blessings and are upon him. At first, the Holy Quran points to the issue of leadership and its rule in the course of human destiny, implying that on the hereafter day, he shall call each people along with their imams or leaders. That is, those people who in any age accepted the call of their contemporary prophets and their emissaries will be with their leaders.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim.
Now we come back to our topic. Who are the Shia? The fifth Imam of the school of Ahlul Bayt, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, once told his student by the name of Jabir. The Imam said, "Is it enough for a person to embellish himself as our Shia follower by professing love for us, the Ahlul Bayt? Nay, by Allah, a person is not our follower unless he fears Allah and obeys him. Our followers are only recognized, O Jabir, by their humility, submission, honesty, abundant praise of Allah, fasting, prayer, goodness to their parents, attention to the poor, debtors and orphans living nearby, speaking of the truth, recitation of the Quran, holding back their tongues except for good words, and trustworthiness towards one's relatives in all affairs." Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with certain definitions and characteristics of typical Shi'i people as formulated by the sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. First of all, it must be indicated that the sixth infallible Imam, whose kunya or patronymic was Abu Abdullah, and his given name was Ja'far, and his most widely famous title was As-Sadiq, that is, the truthful, was born in the year 83 according to Hijra calendar in Medina. His father was the fifth infallible Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, and his mother was Umm Farveh. What's indicated in this regard is that among the infallible Imams, the two infallible Imams, that is, the fifth infallible Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, and particularly the sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, had some opportunities in their life and times to define basic and fundamental Islamic rituals and definitions for people, as well as educating many students. Those students or those pupils who enjoyed the presence later on made great names in the Islamic civilization. According to the teachings of the sixth infallible Imam, The she's are invited to show cooperation and sympathy to one another. At the same time, it's indicated in one of the teachings of the sixth circumfallible Imam to one of his companions known by the patronymic Ibn Jundab, in that anybody who walks and makes a move in order to help his religious brother, his brother in faith, and his brother in Islam, is like a person who is trotting the distance between As-Safa and Al-Marwa mounts in Mecca, or like a person who is martyred in the Battle of Badr and Uhud.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
On the continuation of this program, today's special, we'll listen a little about the characteristics of a true Shia. Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, peace be upon him, once said to Muyassir, "O Muyassir, should I not describe to you who our Shia or true followers are?" Muyassir replied, "But of course, may I be sacrificed for you, O Imam." The Imam continued, "Unquestionably, they are Shia like a fortified stronghold. Their hearts are places that preserves the truth given to them, such as secrets and private information, and are those who have a firm, dignified intelligence. They do not spread rumors that they are told by others and are not strict, severe people, nor are they people who show off during the night time. They are as monks that they stay up in the night, busy in prayer and worship, while during the daytime they are as lions, active, energetic, and involved in the activities of the world and their community." In this concise tradition, there are seven characteristics mentioned which one must possess in order to be classified as a Shia. Truly a veiled and hidden or comprehensive world of subject matter and responsibilities has been given to us in this saying. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Life lessons between two great responsibilities. We are speaking about the characteristics of the Shia, or who is a true Shia. Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, "A faithful believer is always anxious concerning two things, for his past sins and how Allah will treat him for these sins, and for his remaining life, and the uncertainty about how he will spend it." The most manifest sign of belief is feeling responsibility, both for what has transpired and for the duties and obligations that should be fulfilled. Those who possess these two feelings will always think about compensation for past negligence, as well as finding the best possible way for using future opportunities. These thoughts are instrumental in the continuous development and progress of a man or a nation.
Why are you a follower of Ahlul Bayt? What responses would you give? I am Shia because when I look at Tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I find the most complete definition of Tawheed. the most complete belief in Tawheed to be in the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. When you open books like Nahj al-Balagha and you hear Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi as-salam speak about Allah, he gives you the best understanding of God out there in the universe. I challenge anyone to bring a book like Nahj al-Balagha, like the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, that describe to you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi as-salam was asked to describe Allah in two words. What's Tawheed? The Imam alayhi salam beautifully stated, التوحيد ألا تتوهم والعدل ألا تتهم. You want me to describe Tawheed to you? Tawheed, don't subject God to the limits of your imagination. Because many people have done that. Allah is above anything that even comes to your mind. Allah is the infinite. Allah is the unlimited. Now look at some Muslim books these days, my dear brothers and sisters. They have ascribed physical qualities to God. This is Bukhari. It tells you that on the day of judgment, Allah will put his leg in hell, in Jahannam, such that Jahannam says, enough, enough, enough. I've been full now. This is in Bukhari. Millions of Muslims have believed in this throughout the centuries. But in the school of Ahlul Bayt, the Imams alayhim as-salam give us a very lofty, exalted image of who God is. Don't subject him to the limits of your imagination. And in fact, in Nahj al-Balagha, the Imam alayhi salam teaches us true tawheed even means you negate the sifat, nafyu sifati an. You negate the attributes from God. What does that mean? Allah is one essence. Don't think God has parts. God has an essence, and then part of it is knowledge, part of it is power, part of it is all these attributes that we read in the Quran. No, the Imam alayhi salam says, you want to really be a true muwahid? You want to not subject God to any limitations? Negate these attributes. Allah is knowledge. Allah is power. That's the most beautiful description that you will find in any school of thought. That is why I'm a Shia. Because by being a Shia, I have the best description of what it means to worship the true one Lord.
That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we will speak more about this interesting topic, and that is, who is a true Shia? Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we meet you soon. So may Allah bless all of you, and we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi. علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is something worth contemplating upon. In the words of the leader of the pious and the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The portals of repentance are open for everybody. Hence, repent to God sincerely, so that your Lord may forgive your sins. Thank you.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to be looking at a very interesting hadith, which has been narrated from Imam Al-Qazim alayhi salam, Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam, regarding the reward for getting a fellow Muslim married, right, helping out in the marriage of another Muslim. So if you have your brother, he wants to get married, or your sister in Islam, she wants to get married, and she's having a hard time doing so, you can help them out. You're going to reap a lot of reward. As attested to in this very beautiful hadith, which has been narrated from Imam Qazim, alayhi salam. The Imam says, there are three types of people who will be shaded by Allah's throne on the day when no shade will avail apart from it. As you know, the day of resurrection is a day when the sun will shine very directly over the heads of people. It's a very hot day. People will be very thirsty because of the heat of that day. And the only people who will find shade on that day are those who are close to God, close to His throne, and who enjoy the shade which the throne, the arsh of Allah, you know, casts upon the earth. There's a kind of indication and allusion to their being in the proximity of God. Who are these people? Who are these three types of people? The Imam says, the one who arranged the marriage of a fellow Muslim brother. The one who arranged the marriage of a fellow Muslim brother. If you help in the arrangement of a fellow Muslim brother, it doesn't mean you should go and, you know, take it upon yourself to get this person married from beginning to end, pay all his expenses, find him the wife. Nah, it could be just like, you know, you're giving this, helping this person out, you know, in some way or another. This could even be counted as you're helping him out in his marriage. So this is the first group. The second group, or served him in some way. The second one is kind of a part of the first one, or you might say it includes the first one as well. Serving your brother in some way. Let's say that your brother is sick. He needs your help. You know, you make him some, you know, dinner and you bring it to him. Or, you know, let's say that your neighbor, your fellow Muslim brother who's your neighbor, right? You know, his child needs, you know, he needs to be taught something. He's having trouble in school. Oh, you go help him out. Help your neighbor's child out. You know, teach him what, you know, he needs to learn. Help him out in this way. It could be a lot of things. All of these are cases and instances of serving your brother in faith. If you do that, you'll be included in this group of people who are shaded by the throne of God. Finally, the Imam says, or concealed his Muslim brother's faults from others. This is also something very big. You know, you know your brother has a lot of faults, has a lot of, mistakes. He commits a lot of mistakes. He has a lot of sins. Disclosing those sins or those faults in front of others is also, you know, a good deed, and you'll be rewarded for it in the hereafter, by being allowed to take refuge in the shade of the throne of God. Of course, this is not, we're not talking about those faults and mistakes which could harm others, be a harm to others or even the person himself. In this case, obviously this person should kind of take it upon himself to tell others and to prevent this person from harming the other people or himself. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the reward for getting a fellow Muslim married in the words of Imam Al-Qadim alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل فرجهم.
So welcome back, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. Thanks for being with us. So we are going to practice Surah Al-Mulk, page 560 to Surah Al-Mulk, inshallah. So remember that the topic that we focus on is improving our reading, right? Our fluency. So we said, if you want to read the Quran Karim fluently without any mistake, yes? So first, you have to know the alphabet letters, the harakat, vowel letters, okay? Short vowel sounds, long vowel sounds, tashdeed, sukoon, fathatain, okay, kasratain, bammatain, qalqala, these things, the things that we, so far we had been practicing, yes, in this class, in level 1 of reading the Quran Karim. So now it's time to go on the Quran and practice this, okay?
The pages that we didn't read.
So sometimes maybe a lot of people can identify, we said as well, okay, in the previous session, but they cannot read them, yes? It's difficult for them. So what did we say to them?
To read.
Make it apart.
Okay, separate the sounds. separate the sounds, okay?
Take a
for
knife.
Example, yeah, take a knife, slice,
take
okay?
Take a knife, like...
For example, there is a big apple. You cannot put, okay, all the apple inside
my brother,
your mouth and eat it.
Actually, I once tried to shove it up my mouth before.
Maybe, yeah, you can do it, yes.
My mouth is big.
But
I'm usually not
people cannot do it. So what do you do? You slice it. Yeah, you cut into pieces.
But horses
and then easily you can eat it.
So, but also some people cut the skin of it to eat.
Okay, rip the skin.
No, but he's a horse.
Yes.
He just...
So, now in Quran as well, okay? That's not a good example, but in Quran as well, we have to separate make pieces, okay?
Then
cut
eat
into
them.
Pieces.
So
all the words, okay?
No.
Yes, then we
separate
put together, not eat them, read them.
So what you said, we should eat, slice and eat.
We have to read them, not eat them.
No, in the apple you say we should eat, then I'll eat.
So inshallah, like this. For example, we recite, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. You cannot recite this way, but you want to recite this way. So you have to cut all the words into pieces, like the apple that you cut into pieces, okay? Slice them. Then you put them together. Now, look. Ta ba ra kal la vi. Tabarakal la vi. First time. Pronounce all the vowel sounds. Ta ba ra ka. Short, okay? Shortly, okay? Tabaraka. Join them and say faster. Ta ba ra ka. Tabaraka. Alright? So inshallah we'll do it this way, okay? So, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
So one point that you need to remember, if you know a surah already, you don't have to practice it a lot, okay? Because you know it, how to read. Sometimes you have memorized. For example, Surah Al-Hamd, you know. So if you want to improve your reading, don't recite Surah Al-Hamd again and again and again and again every day, okay? That I want to practice my reading. Go to new pages of the Quran, okay? For example, now we are on page 562. This is new for you, yes?
Yeah, I didn't know this exists.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes people only think, okay, that Surah Al-Hamd only exists in the Quran.
So, but also...
Because they always practice that surah.
So, but like, also, I don't know all the surah's name.
Okay, Surah Al-Mulk is one of the
also,
surahs.
I don't know this.
Surah Al-Mulk, I tried to learn before.
Great. Now, let's go.
Go away.
Ready?
I want to
yes?
Start.
Yes.
Okay. Do the same as I do, okay?
Can we each read ayah?
Tabarakalladhi.
Tabarakalladhi.
Okay. I do. I separately read them. You have to join them.
Yeah.
Okay. This is easy, yes?
Yes.
So, listen, Mahdi. Tabarakalladhi.
تبارك الذي
أحسن. Once again.
تبارك الذي
أحسن. تبارك الذي أحسن. ما شاء الله. بيده الملك.
بيده الملك.
أحسن.
Okay, now let's read both together.
So بيده Hil mulku.
Biyadihil mulku.
Now, again, the first part with the second part. Tabarakalladhi
biyadihil mulku. Tabarakalladhi biyadihil
Ahsan. Next part now. Wa huwa. Do it. Wa huwa.
Wa huwa.
Ahsan. Ala.
Ala.
Wa huwa ala.
Wa huwa ala.
Wa huwa ala. Ahsan.
Wa huwa ala.
Great. Kul li shay in.
كل شيء
وهو عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ
وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ
وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ Great.
وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ
أحسن قدير
قدير
وهو على كل شيء قدير
وهو على كل شيء قدير
تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير
تبارك الذي بأيدي
Why do you say تبارك?
Yes, sir.
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغار حراء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق
Okay, once again. You can recite it normally. Recite it normally. Okay, go on.
تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير
Okay, one by one. من هل حسين؟
تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير
ما شاء الله محمد يحيى
تبارك الذي بأي
separate the sounds separate
تبارك الذي بيده الملك وعلى كل شيء قدير
okay
تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير
ما شاء الله مهدي
تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير
ما شاء الله حسنت Thank you so much. Okay, next ayah now.
Oh,
Again,
Arabic.
Okay? I separate this, the, each part of the, each word, okay?
Wow.
Okay, you have to read it fluently and normal. Ready? Ready?
Yes. Okay.
الذي
خلق الموت
الذي خلق الموت
again الذي خلق الموت
الذي خلق الموت
الذي خلق الموت
الذي خلق الموت
Do you know why do we recite like very with slowly? It's because you have to learn how to put the sounds together. Otherwise, you have to do 30. It's okay, yes?
الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا الذي خلق الموت والحياة
You can practice this way as well, but it's faster, yes? You need to slower, okay? Move slower, okay? Then inshallah you can read it faster the next time. So, listen and read it fluently, okay? Listen to me.
الذي خلق الموت والحياة
Do it.
الذي خلق الموت والحياة
أحسن. If you stop there والحياة, you change that thought to ha.
الذي خلق الموت والحياة. You change it to ha.
الذي خلق الموت والحياة.
Son, you change it to ha.
Yeah.
Okay,
no,
that's
okay. Hayat.
I know. You change it to ha. Good.
Hayat.
Okay. No, next one.
Hayat.
Li yab lu wa kum.
Li yab lu wa kum.
Li yab lu.
Did I say lab lu?
He said lab.
I didn't say. I didn't.
No, he said lab lu.
So listen, listen, and listen and say.
I didn't read it.
Okay, listen up. Li yab lu wa kum. Do not add any other extra sounds. Okay. Li yab. Say it. Li yab.
Li yab
lu wa kum.
لواكم
ليبلوكم أحسن again
ليبلوكم.
Did you have your breakfast, Minhar Hussain? Because you're reciting so quietly.
I just have one bread and finish.
Okay,
so I didn't eat anything.
ليبلوكم.
You're gonna die.
So ليبلوكم.
ليبلوكم.
أحسن.
So we didn't read one in the middle.
Oh, sorry. So أي
أيكم
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 أيكم أيكم
together أيكم
أيكم.
You don't have to read like me, okay? أيكم faster.
أيكم
أحسنوا
أحسنوا عملا.
Okay, you gotta put all the sounds together. أحسنوا عملا
أحسنوا عملا.
Okay.
اللهم صل
على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Thank you so much. Thanks to IRIB English Radio
and
International School Network. Mahdi Al-Husseinan, Muhammad Yahya Ja'fari, Sayyid Muhammad Yahya Ja'fari, and Minhal Hussain, and yeah, somehow me as well.
No, that's
right. Habibullah Fasizada. Thank you so much. God bless you, inshallah. See you, inshallah, in the next session. Our first learning how to read the Quran Kareem has ended, inshallah. We'll see you in our level 2 of learn how to read the Quran Kareem. There are some rules left, okay, inshallah, we will do it. Thank you so much. Recite a salawat.
Allahumma
salli
ala
Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad. Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Ocean of Dua. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. وكن اللهم بعزتك لي في كل الأحوال رؤوفا وعلي في جميع الأمور عطوفا إلهي وربي من لي غيرك أسأله كشف ضري
Brothers and sisters, we reached the part in which Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Ilahi wa Rabbi man li ghayruk. O my Allah and my Lord, have I any but you? As'aluhu kashfa dhurri wa nadhara fi amri. From whom to ask remedy of my affliction and regard of my affairs. In this part, the supplicant is saying, O my Lord, do I have any source of blessing and mercy other than you? I ask you for the remedy of my affliction and my bad state, and attention to my life affairs. My Lord, there is someone who can alleviate my misery, who is powerful in every aspect, who is not depriving me of his mercy, who is not mean, and no one has the power to keep his mercy away from me if he wants to give me his mercy. The one who has all these perfect attributes and is away from any fault is you, so I'm here asking you alone and no one else. من لي غيرك? Have I got anyone but you? أسأله كشف ضري والنظر في أمري to give me the remedy of my affliction. So, if we seek refuge to anyone except the Almighty Allah for remedy of our afflictions, if we ask anyone except the Almighty Allah our request, He cannot be kind to us. He cannot be able to solve all of our problems. He would be unkind in fulfilling our wishes. That is why we say anyone other than the Almighty Allah cannot do anything for us. That is why we should not rely on the creatures of the Almighty Allah. We should wholly rely on Him alone and no one else. We should be hopeless of all beings, like our relatives, like our friends. We should beseech only from Him. We should humbly ask Him for the remedy of our afflictions, our difficulties, our bad states and our vices. Because He is our Creator, He is the absolute cause, and He should be asked to save us from the calamities, the harms, and mental and spiritual illnesses.
Therefore, my Lord, I ask you by your greatness not to let my sins and my misdeeds veil my supplications from you, and not to disgrace me by exposing those of which you have knowledge, nor to hasten my retribution for those vices and misdeeds committed by me in secret, which were due to evil-mindedness, ignorance, excessive lustfulness, and my negligence. O Allah, I beg you by your greatness to be compassionate to me in all circumstances,
and be gracious to me in all affairs. My God, my nourisher, have I anyone except you from whom I can seek the removal of my afflictions and understanding of my problem?
Thank you, Allah, that we're here feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Dear listeners, one should always have hope in Allah's mercy. One should beseech Him in such a way that as if he is drowning in the middle of the sea with no relations, no one else to turn to, no assistance, no dependence and worldly reliance on anyone but Allah. As the Almighty Allah told Jesus, Ya Isa, ud'uni du'a al-ghariq al-hazin, alladhi laysa lahu mughith. O Jesus, call me like the calling of the one who has no supporter when being drowned. In this regard, also Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, إِذَا أَرَادَ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ لَا يَسْأَلَ رَبَّهُ شَيْئًا إِلَّا أَعْطَاهُ. Whenever one of you wishes to gain whatever he wants from Allah, فَلْيَيْأَسْ مِنَ النَّاسِ كُلِّهِمْ. He should do one thing. He should be hopeless of all the people. وَلَا يَكُونَ لَهُ رَجَاءٌ إِلَّا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. He should just be hopeful of the Almighty. فَإِذَا عَلِمَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ ذَلِكَ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ. When Allah sees such reliance in His servant's heart, لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا إِلَّا أَعْطَاهُ. In this situation, the servant will not ask anything from the Almighty Allah except Allah grants him. Allah will grant whatever the servant wants from him. So here, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is revealing another etiquette of supplication which has been observed in this part of the Kumail supplication. Reliance on the Almighty Allah and no one else, and then confessing to this very fact. That is why Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Ilahi wa Rabbi, man li ghayruk. O Allah, O my Lord, have I got anyone but you? As'aluhu kashfa dhurri wa nadhara fi amri. From whom I can ask the remedy of my affliction and regard for my affairs. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Ya Allah, Ya Allah, don't let me go astray, 'cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close, close to you through all my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints,
the presence of different scholars.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers, Sayyid Murtaza and Sayyid Mohsen. Sayyid Mohsen and Sayyid Murtaza, assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much for inviting me to this program.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
So today we want to talk about the 104th year in which marks the Balfour Declaration in Palestine. And, this Balfour Declaration, as the Palestinians calls it, has set the stage for the creation of the Israeli entity and the occupation of Palestine. Before getting to the issues that are taking place in Palestine today, let's get back to 1917, Sayyid Murtaza. Explain a little bit about the Balfour Declaration itself.
Oh, thank you very much. You know, this declaration actually prepared a base for occupation by imperial powers during First World War. And, you know, behind this was the Zionist, actually, powers that were present in European countries, specifically talking in Great Britain.
Right.
We had that strong presence. And this declaration was actually made to prepare, I would like to add a terminology, and that terminology was actually introduced for the first time through this declaration. It was a national home. Mm-hmm. And this declaration was very much stating the fact that Jews and Jewish people actually needed a place for settlement.
That's right.
And this declaration, for the first time, introduced a terminology, a term for a Jewish people in order to have a home in Middle East. So that national home was introduced through this declaration. Unfortunately, later, the same term was very much explained and described as a vague one, mm-hmm. because nobody knew about two parts of this declaration, national home. So because Jews were not very much the most bigger population in Palestine.
That's right.
So unfortunately, declaration was for the first time defined in a wrong way. And then based on that wrong definition, future developments were made.
So there was only Palestine at that time and there was no Israel, isn't it?
Of course, no.
As a result of this declaration, you know, a country by the name of Israel was established.
Well, actually, you know, there was a kind of strategic imperial, purpose and mm-hmm. goal behind creating such a declaration. And Great Britain, especially the Zionist powers inside Great Britain, okay. actually were behind this declaration.
Oh.
So it was actually made in order to benefit only Zionists and those who were actually following this political ideology. So there was no benefit to the Jewish people, in fact, and it was only forcing Jews to move to Palestine and create a man-made, actually, a system. And that was actually the Zionist regime. And
okay.
we know there was no name as Israel land at that time.
Yes.
So a declaration was only a paper in the first place. Later on, based on the same wrong paper, there were more developments
made. Okay, Sayyid